prospects for a historic U.S.-North Korean summit appear to be improving following a surprise meeting held on Saturday between the leaders of North and South Korea, during which the two men discussed reviving the summit that President Trump had called off. Since the meeting, Donald Trump has stated he is open to reinstating talks, though the summit intended for June still posits a question surrounding the leaders' conflicting agendas and whether decisions will serve the interests of allied nations. Julie Carcatzel has this report.
An epic soundtrack complements Hollywood-style footage of the two Korean presidents as they embrace in a surprise meeting which occurred over the weekend. Though South Korea's promotional video is far from ambiguous in its message to the international community, echoing the country's vigorous stance against an indecisive Donald Trump in the latest development of what has become an on-again, off-again plan for a US and North Korea summit. I discuss the implications of the leaders' meeting with Professor Gordon Flake, founding CEO of the US Asia Center in Perth, who has followed developments in the Asia-Pacific region for the past 30 years.
It's really interesting to me because by all accounts, this is something initiated by North Korea, and then within 24 hours, it took place. It is a sign that the United States' relative capriciousness, kind of volatility, is leading other countries to kind of come together to come up with joint strategies. And so on the one hand, it was a positive development because it took us away from what appeared to be kind of a breakdown of the entire process. But on the other hand, it highlights the challenge that the United States is going to have in building any pressure on North Korea should these talks not go forward, because in the end, there's other players that have agency beyond just the United States.
In response to the meeting, U.S. President Donald Trump has reinstated plans for a June summit with Kim Jong-un after backing out last week due to the Korean president's hostile rhetoric. However, the leaders' separate agendas prove problematic in solving the conflict.
I'm not sure actually what change has taken place in terms of the substance that would lead Trump back to the talks, other than the fact that clearly he wants to be part of the game. Clearly, the North Koreans want a summit. They're looking to be recognized as a peer of the United States. And clearly, the South Koreans want a summit because they want to keep us away from, as far away as possible from, that highly escalatory, volatile situation we found ourselves in at the end of last year, with Trump talking about fire and fury and the North Korean testing missiles and nuclear weapons. So all three parties directly involved want this to happen. The fundamental problem is, what are they talking about, and what are the conditions behind this? And therein lies the challenge.
Trump's decision to meet with the North Korean president has attracted scrutiny from the international community, though another point of contention will revolve around alliance coordination and whether the interests of nations such as Japan and South Korea will be accounted for if a summit were to take place.
One of the real issues over the last several weeks has been a question of alliance coordination. So did President Trump let either Japan or South Korea know when they decided to pull out of the summit? Apparently not. This week, when the United States seems to be suggesting that the summit may be back on again, was that coordinated with allies? When the United States is making decision and entering to summitry with North Korea, will this be a coordinated process with allies like Japan, South Korea, or even Australia, which has historically been the case, has been the rule? And more importantly, will the interests of countries like Japan, South Korea, and other allies in the region be taken into account in any decisions to come out? So if we end up having a summit meeting and Trump, as is entirely possible, just decides to declare peace in our time, the conflict with North Korea is over, and yet doesn't address any of those fundamental issues which threaten the region, and perhaps even further still agrees to, say, withdraw U.S. troops from the peninsula, those are all issues which are going to have major ramification for allies.
The details and outcome of the meeting to revive the summit are yet to be revealed.
Now, whether all this is useful in moving us forward towards denuclearization and limiting the North Korean missile program and nuclear program, which are a direct threat not just to the United States, but the region as a whole and the international regime that controls these things, is another story altogether. I don't think that we've made any progress in resolving that fundamental divide. It's extremely difficult to imagine a scenario in which North Korea would abandon either its long-range missiles or its nuclear program. It is those programs which have gotten it where it is today.
Professor Gordon Flake, ending that report by Julia Carr-Katzel.